Hello and welcome to another episode of the Baywatch podcast. This is the podcast where we've decided to watch the classic and once most watched television series in the world, Baywatch, one episode at a time. And on this episode, once again, I have my podcasting pal, Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hello, Dave. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I've only got one thing to say, and that is, how's the Studebaker running?
What?
How did you not get that from the episode we've just watched? It's the password to get in, Dave.
Oh!
Didn't get it. I actually really concentrated through this episode. That other person that laughing just heard is our guest on this week's episode is Fee. Welcome, Fee. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on this most auspicious podcast.
It's quite random, isn't it?
It's very, very exciting.
Thanks. We're so excited for you to be on this episode because you actually live in California.
I do, yes. I looked up last night. I live 25 miles from the beach where they filmed Baywatch. So the beach, I believe, is between Malibu and Santa Monica, two places that I go to a lot. So I've been to the beaches all along that coast and driven the PCH many times, so down around that area. So yeah, it was strange seeing it this time, obviously, with the eyes of, oh, I recognise that, and I recognise that.
So jealous. Do they wear like red shorts, the lifeguards?
They do, yes. And those sort of pale blue lifeguard hut things are very prevalent, like in the beaches in this area. So I love seeing those. But yeah, the lifeguards pretty much are all the cliches you think of. They drive like a yellow kind of truck and they have red accoutrements, like accessories. So yeah, it's pretty much what you'd expect.
Do they all have mullets still?
They don't, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame.
Do they all look like David Hasselhoff? Are they all six-packed up or... like cool,
oh yeah, it? Yeah. I mean, you kind of get used to that living here. That everyone pretty much looks like a model. Yeah, they're all very young and, you know, hanging out in their hut, looking cool.
Is it actually called Baywatch?
It's not. No, unfortunately. Oh, just like the Coast Guard, I think they're part of.
I feel like they're missing a trick.
Yeah, I know. They need to get better at their like marketing and PR.
I think if you had had Baywatch, you would definitely market it that way, wouldn't you? Do they have like a Baywatch shop?
No, they don't have like a themed. They should do a themed like souvenir shop, shouldn't they?
At least a restaurant.
Yeah, the restaurants and shops are. It's not at all like a British seaside. So you know how like the British seaside has loads of like fish and chip shops and ice cream shops, and it has like gift shops and places where you can buy your rock and all those seaside like buckets and spades and all of that kind of thing. It is so, so hard to find anything like that here. So they don't have, like, the beaches here are not lined with anything, practically.
Oh.
So even finding a restaurant is really hard. Even finding anywhere to get, like, a drink or a snack at the beach is so hard here. And they don't have, like, shops or restaurants or cafes, anything really.
So what do they have there?
Well, on like Malibu Pier there's a restaurant, but it's pretty high end. It's not like, you know, if you're like a British family going to the seaside with your kids, you obviously are there for the day, you're going to get your fish and chips for lunch, you're going to get ice creams for the kids, and it's all going to be fairly cheap. They have nothing like that here. It's all like a high-end restaurant or nothing, pretty much.
Wow. Maybe that's a business opportunity, Dave. We should move to Malibu and open a fish and chip shop.
Maybe. You'd be nice that episode one was based around Malibu Pier.
Right.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
I have a little anecdote about Malibu Pier. Not long after we moved here, so we moved here 4 years ago, my kids were quite young. We went to Malibu Pier and there was a guy dressed up as a bear. And my little innocent, like, four-year-old went up and hugged the guy dressed as a bear because, like, my kids are quite trusting with strangers and, like, will just talk to anyone. And we realised afterwards, once, like, my child was hugging the bear, that the bear was selling weed.
Oh.
Fantastic.
He was either advertising or selling like weed samples, basically.
That's all legal in California.
It is, yeah, it is. It does explain a lot.
I've got some questions about gambling in a minute, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I might be able to help you out a little bit there.
How long does it take to get to Mexico?
It takes probably longer than you think, so maybe 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours.
So if you left at, like, say, 6 in the evening, would you get there still there in daytime and enough time?
No.
See? They lied.
See? Lies.
No, you wouldn't. No. You wouldn't get there in daytime, definitely not.
Okay, cool. There's another episode when they go to Mexico and they make it look pretty easy.
Well, they don't. I mean, they make it look pretty easy to get there really quickly, but then they make an absolute meal of it getting back. that's not easy. I mean, their Jeep blows up for a start.
That's true. Okay, were you a fan of Baywatch? Have you watched it back when you were a young'un?
Yes, when I was a kid. Now, I think I might have false memories about this that you two are probably going to tell me I've got this all wrong. But my memory is that it was on ITV. Yep. So I'm not even 100% on that, right? Okay. I associate it in my head with when I went to stay with my nan at the weekends and watched things like Catchphrase and Blind Date.
Because
I wasn't allowed. Like, our house was not an ITV household. Like, my house was a BBC household. So ITV, trashy ITV shows like Catchphrase and Blind Date, and I believe Baywatch. Mm. I watched at my nan's house.
Wow. Same time as Gladiator, I believe.
Yes, and Gladiators, yeah.
Yeah, that rings true. Yeah, I remember watching it at my dad's house. I don't think I watched it at my mum's house. That was quite a BBC house. But yeah, definitely watched it at my dad's.
I didn't know that was a thing, you had to be either.
it was a bit like Blur v. Oasis. You were one or the other.
Yeah, my grand for a long time was so anti ITV that he told us it didn't work on his telly.
Wow.
he only had one and two and the other channels didn't work.
Was four around at that point? Was that before Channel 4?
Yes. Well, I'm not that old, Dave. Come on.
I'm just checking. Yeah, we couldn't even remember this series as soon as we start watching it. We couldn't remember any of these characters.
Oh, really? Well, no. Well, I was really happy to find when I watched the episode that it had Billy Warlock and Erica Ellen Nyett. Because they to me are like the classic Baywatch characters. So Billy Warlock is like, oh yeah, he was like an early crush. I kind of like in the same era as like Edward Furlong. There was Billy Warlock, impressive mullet.
I can't believe you got that woman's name right. I've been like murdering it. Like 17 episodes.
Well, I'm not 100% sure I've got that right, but I think it's Erica Ellen Nyett.
Weirdly, I was watching ET yesterday, and she pops up in that as well. So
she does. Yeah, I looked her up last night as well. I did a bit of googling, and there was some sad stuff in her post sort of Baywatch times. Ooh. But because I was like, what? I wonder what ever happened to her. But yeah, they were both quite short lived. I think this is the thing about your brain tricking you is that you think like these characters, because if you have like a connection, you think that they were on it for ages, but they were pretty short-lived, weren't they? Billy Warlock and Erica Ellen Nyett.
I think Billy Warlock's in it longer, but yeah, I think.
Yeah, I know they both make it to season two, which is more than some other characters. So is there any questions that you want to know? Because you probably don't remember the rest of this series. Anything you want to catch up on? Like who's who or who's what?
There were two blonde men who were almost identical. So I just had them like confused for the entire episode.
Okay.
So one was called Cord and one is the other
Craig.
One. Craig. Yeah, so they were like looked so similar. I just thought, why have you got such similar looking people in this? But I do have a vague recollection of that guy who like runs the surf shop that Billy works at.
Yeah.
What? Cool.
Yeah, he did ring it like a vague bell when I was
He's a newer character. He's only been introduced in the last three episodes or so. He's an ex-Navy SEAL.
Obviously.
And I have to tell this to everyone who comes on. Did you know Mitch was an ex-Navy SEAL?
No, I did not.
There you go. There's that bit of information for you. They were both buddies back in the time when they were both in the army. Craig's the other one. He's a part-time lawyer.
Obvs. So it's that I think Baywatch is a bit like the fire service here. So people, no one or very few people are full-time professional firemen here.
Right.
It's like a thing you kind of do on the side. And I think Baywatch is like similar, isn't it? It's like they have day jobs, but they also are lifeguards or something.
I think, Other than Mitch, I don't think anyone's a full-time lifeguard, are they?
Yeah.
I'd like to see their other halves, their other jobs, to be honest. I'd like to see what,
yeah,
what Shawnee does.
Well, we know Court and Eddie work in the surf shop, and we know Craig's a lawyer.
I think
Shawnee's rich.
Jill
or Shawnee do. What? Yeah, Shawnee's rich, so I don't think she needs a job. We don't know what Jill does, but we don't really know what Jill does in Baywatch either.
Because it's a woman character, so... it's a female character. They're underwritten.
Yeah.
Incredibly underwritten.
I would say season one is your classic Baywatch, to be honest.
Do you? I think Pamela Anderson, I know, a bit more pervy.
Even she is like, I consider a bit after my time.
Pamela, I think she's Anderson. Season three.
I certainly was not watching it during the Pamela Anderson years.
I think when I was watching it.
I watched a clip with Pamela Anderson in the other day, and I have to say, I don't think the acting improves, and I certainly don't think the writing improves in any sense.
No, they are dragging the bottom of the barrel. Shall we get on to this episode? Shall we discuss this?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to read out the blurb that we do, and then we'll talk about the storylines, because there's only two of them in this one. Okay, here we go. So, Snake Eyes. We could do a drinking game in this one. Eddie is drawn into gambling after Court takes him to an illegal offshore casino. And after a few nights bad luck, Eddie finds himself $3,000 in debt. But when Court discovers the place to be rigged with loaded dice and marked cards, he, Craig and Eddie conspire to beat the gamblers at their own game. Meanwhile, Hobie thinks he can slack off after his English teacher, Amanda Keller, and Mitch begin dating, but he finds out otherwise.
Yet again, the blurb is almost accurate. And not quite.
Yeah.
They don't really decide to beat them at their own game, do they?
No, they don't.
I have many questions about it.
Also, that whole entire thing of like the blonde guy discovering that the dice are loaded, that all happens in like the last 5 minutes of the episode. It felt like all of that part of like the episode, the exciting part, was like really, really crammed in right at the end, and everything else was like stretched out.
They have to fit the montage.
Welcome to Series 1 of Baywatch.
Yeah. welcome to what we've been doing for the last year of our lives. The funny thing about this is that there's always a name of a title, and I would say 90% of the time it has no relevance to the storyline of what's going on. So it's quite welcoming when one's called Snake Eyes and it's actually about gambling, and he says the name of the title about a million times, and it's brilliant.
And I genuinely thought, because Baywatch is so crazy, that this was going to have snakes in it, because you know, that's the sort of thing they would do. And last week's episode was called Muddy Waters, and it was just in a water park.
Yep.
Wasn't really muddy. There were no blues players involved.
Clear waters, some might say.
Like, no relevance whatsoever. There was water in it. That was about as close as we got.
Yeah.
But this one, bang on. The title's bang on for the first time. But yeah, only two storylines, Dave.
I know.
Which is not... We know, not standard Baywatch.
I'm surprised.
You know, this is different, isn't it?
It's like they've tried to actually work out a proper storyline, which is incredible.
So we normally only get the three, don't we? Three stories.
And one of them's very, very weak.
Right.
Like, you barely...
They're all very, very weak. It's Baywatch.
I'm trying to make it sound good.
One of them is very, very weak for Baywatch.
Yeah, like, it's barely clinging on to the name storyline.
Yes, basically. So
absolutely.
The two storylines. Should we just get the English teacher out of the way?
Yeah.
My favourite part about that storyline was that her classroom was the size of a broom cupboard. It was like, it's meant to be this like glamorous Malibu. When I think of the schools in Malibu, her classroom was absolutely tiny, and I just felt like it had about like 10 kids in it. I mean, the small class size would, you know, probably is realistic, but she wouldn't be crammed into this tiny room.
And was there the wrong way round? Like, her desk and the board were at one end, and all the kids were facing a different wall. It was really weird.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling that classroom as like a realistic situation.
No, look weird.
No.
Just like, that's the only room they'd got on set. Like, it's just the only one available at
it's
the time.
Probably the one where they teach the kids, actually. So you know how you have like an on-set tutor?
Oh yeah.
If you've got kids in TV or film, you have an on-set tutor. I've looked into doing that, actually.
Oh wow.
But I bet that's their classroom. I bet that's where they filmed it.
Yeah, I bet it's right. Just a shower room, that one that, like, they've taken they've taken one set and tried to make it look like another set. That's what I imagine. Notoriously low.
We met Hobie's teacher, Miss Keller, in the last episode.
Yep. Okay.
She popped up in the last episode.
Mitch is already in love with her, by the way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Mitch is already in love. Breaking all Baywatch rules, a character from one episode has turned up in another. This has not happened. Unless they're a title character. Yeah, this doesn't tend to happen, does it?
Do you reckon we'll get a third episode out of her?
I don't know, we might. Who knows? I said no last week. I said we wouldn't see her again last week, and here we are.
She's Mitch's lifelong love, so obviously she's got to stick around now.
No, it's Baywatch.
No, she won't get mentioned after next week. There'll be a new love.
So she does say something before the really awkward montage.
Which one?
Of her and Mitch.
the
first
frolicking.
The frolicking, yeah.
Yeah, the frolicking one.
She does say, "Would you like to clap my erasers?" Does anyone know what that means? Because that sounds like a really awful euphemism to me.
I do know exactly what that means. That means, you know, like a chalkboard eraser.
Oh.
So, you know, you have like, they're wooden and they've got like foam on them and the blackboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and this is like a really common thing you see in American TV and film, the banging of the erasers. It was like a job that a kid had to do. And they had to bang them to get rid of all the chalk dust. So I do know exactly what the banging of the erasers is. But it was kind of weird that they were setting up their love affair on the premise that, like, Mitch was like, "Oh, I wish you'd been my teacher when I was at school." And it was like that entire kind of
creepy
way into the relationship was slightly weird.
He was living out one of his fantasies, it sounded like.
He was, yeah. I remember those wooden blackboard erasers now because I had a French teacher who threw one at my head. Now that, right. I remember that. Very, very nearly hit me.
Back when it was allowed.
I don't think it was allowed, mate. I don't think it was allowed. He also threw a tape recorder at my friend once as well. He was he was quite an angry
hefty
man.
Yeah.
There's a pattern there, Rich.
Yeah. He was quite an angry man. And yeah.
I have got a question, Fee, for you. And it's about the coffee machine. Mr. Coffee, is that a brand or is that... do you reckon that was an...
I missed that.
I don't know. I haven't.
I've missed everything else, but I've written Mr. Coffee. Exclamation mark.
I'm not familiar with it, but it could well be. It could well be an American brand. It sounds like it, you know, probably is a real thing, but I don't know.
It is exactly what it says on the tin. Just makes coffee, I guess.
Did you notice that it's Amanda Keller, isn't it?
Yes.
I didn't call her Miss Keller for the whole thing. Amanda only wears her glasses when she's teaching.
That is 100%.
It's like to signify to the audience, like, you know.
She's smart.
Yeah, clever when she's teaching, attractive when she's not.
Oh, my favourite part of the entire episode is when her briefcase falls open and there's that folder that just says 8th grade midterm test on it in massive letters. And the kid is like, "Ooh, tempting."
What's this? Yeah, that is amazing. I've worked out that in this storyline that my dad, I think, set his fashion on David Hasselhoff's looks when I was younger.
What with Mitch's jeans? Like, the first bit of the episode is she's making breakfast and Mitch is in his robe, right? And he comes down wearing a blue vest and, like, I don't even know what these jeans are. They're three times too big for him. They've got massive holes in them. And they're like white paint. Someone painted them white? What was with those jeans?
That sounds entirely in keeping with the era.
Yeah, the fashion was amazing in this episode. Do you not think?
I loved them getting into tuxes to go to the casino.
Oh, that was ace.
The fact that they fully got dressed up to go to this really, really, like, rusty, rundown boat with the casino on it.
That's bizarre.
I did like their effort.
I appreciate all the fashion, even particular. This is not often I comment on women's clothing, but the suit that Miss Keller, whatever her name is, wore when she dropped the briefcase. It's like a pink thing with a massive collar.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it to people. It looked like she was like some kind of vampire. I think they should make a comeback.
Yeah. No, that was a good look.
I thought that was strong. Bright pink.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I have written down, actually, talking of clothes again, I did write down how does Shawnee drive in those shoes.
Yes.
She's basically wearing white stilettos. Yeah. No wonder her driving is terrible. Jesus, that must be impossible driving in them. So at this point in the morning, we kind of get a hint again at Mitch's kind of terrible parenting style, because Amanda Keller seems to care a lot more about Hobie than Mitch does. She is much more aware of Hobie's feelings than Mitch is.
So also what I found is because I've got a kid who's in fifth grade and Hobie's in eighth grade, right? And what Mitch does is quite happily leave his kid on his own to go surfing, whenever he wants. And I was trying to imagine myself in that, in that position of just saying to my kid, yeah, go surfing, by yourself. I mean, I know there is a Baywatch because apparently, there are people there who could rescue him if he needed it. But I can't imagine letting my kid just go surfing and just say, see you later. I'll see you at home later. I don't know.
No, you're right.
And maybe.
You're right.
Maybe his age, by the time he's 12 or 13 or whatever, it will be a huge difference in maturity. But I just can't imagine saying to my kid, yeah, go surfing by yourself, see you later.
I think what you'll find out from this episode and the other episodes we watched is Mitch is an awful parent.
Mm.
Absolutely awful parent. It's like Hobie's living with a big brother rather than a dad. There is no real parenting here.
Yeah, the mum made a mistake leaving.
Although, there is a point later in this episode where he almost kind of redeems himself. So it's possible. I think there was some good Mitch parenting a bit later on, but yeah, mostly awful, just awful, neglectful, if anything.
You also find out, Fee, that they're not quite sure how old Hobie is. His age has ranged from 12 to 14 so far in the series.
Right.
So,
okay.
We're not quite sure either, to be honest.
No, we're not. No.
And the writers aren't.
But I think Hobie's quite keen on the relationship, right, to start with, because he thinks he's going to get an easy ride at school.
Yeah, he thinks it's his ticket to ride. I think that's the only reason that he's into it. And then when he realises it isn't, that's when he's like, no, dumper.
Yeah, dumper. It's not working out for me.
Yeah, she gave me an F, you've got a dumper now. That's it. That's basically what happens, isn't it? He thinks he can slack off, so he doesn't really put in any effort in his book report. So he gets an F. And then he gets all grumpy and goes home to dad and goes, oh, you've got to dump her. I don't like her, basically. And then.
But he does it in quite a skillfully manipulative, emotional blackmail way.
Yeah,
and obviously
that's true.
Doesn't mention the F and actually says, oh, no, I'm not ready kind of thing.
I have to see her all day at school. And
he says he's been bullied as well.
Lying.
Yeah, he does.
He really goes to town with it.
Yeah, I think, again, what we see from this episode is that Hobie is a dick.
Yep. there's a running theme, Fifi, that we all hate Hobie. He's an absolute little knobhead.
I have written down and underlined Hobie is a git in my notes.
Yeah,
he is, but let's place the blame where it belongs,
Mitch.
On David Hasselhoff's hairy chest.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm about to say it. Would you cheat like he does? Because he gets the answers to this quiz that he's meant to.
they fall literally
in his lap,
the answers to the quiz.
Yeah.
You would cheat as well, right? Because I was like, oh yeah.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. Without
I wouldn't feel good about it. Come on.
It wouldn't raise any suspicions that he went from an F in his last piece of work to an A+ in the next one. That definitely, because I maybe should point out at this stage that I was a teacher for 10 years. So I used to teach at an all-boys school, but I managed not to throw any erasers at any of the kids' heads.
Wow.
So yeah, I've taught his exact age, and the fact that he goes from a grade F to a grade A plus within one piece of work might raise some alarm bells.
Although she does say it's nice to see you back to your old self.
Maybe the F was out of character.
But Rich, we know that he spent last summer in summer school, so he can't be that clever.
He did. Yeah, that's true. I don't think it's that he's not clever. I think he's just lazy. That was kind of my problem when I was at school.
Sounds like me as
I was
well.
Clever enough, I just couldn't be bothered. Like, you know, if there was homework, I would definitely always leave it till the morning.
you would hate me. I was just sarky. I always had an answer. That was my downfall at school, apparently. But, you know.
Oh, dear. But, yeah.
So why does he come clean about it?
Because
it's an American TV show and he has to feel guilty about a lot of things.
Oh, he feels guilty, yeah.
He shouldn't.
The reason he comes clean is because David Hasselhoff brings him a new surfboard.
Well, he guilts him.
And so, yeah. And he immediately feels too guilty to accept it.
No, he's weak.
Again. Just lean into it. Yeah. Just lean into it and be like, yeah, I'm awesome.
He was so close to getting away with it. I don't believe it. And then you're right, Rich. Then Hasselhoff gives him the surfboard that he's wanted.
Yeah, a good bit of parenting, I thought. He says, right, I'm going to let you keep the surfboard for being honest, and you can go out on it once you've got your grades sorted and you're working hard. Like, so he gets to keep it in his bedroom and look at it every day and know that if he works hard, he gets to go out on it. It's a nice bit of parenting. I do that with George quite a lot.
You see, you two are parents, so you might think that's what I would probably take it off him and then use it myself.
Well, all together and never let him have it.
Never let, but I'll definitely use it in front of him, like wave, like, I'm having such a good time. This could have been you.
I think the thing is, you know what works with your kids. And I know that carrot works a lot better than stick with George. Like, you know, telling him off doesn't get the desired effect as much as going, if you do this well, you get this treat. You know,
it's a bribery. Talking about bribery.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Yeah. 90% of my parenting is bribery.
I was about to say all parenting is based on if you do this, you get this. That's 100% of parenting.
I've got a lot to learn.
That's pretty much it. Like, he literally, like, I've explained the concept of doing work and getting paid for it, so that if he, like, lays the table, then he gets his little good boy point he can put aside, and then when he's got enough points, he can use them to buy a toy with. You know, that's kind of, it's all bribery.
You've gone down the Mitch Buchanan way of parenting, then.
I'm shocked.
Everything he knows from David Hasselhoff.
I'm shocked, because I've disagreed with everything he's done up to now.
You haven't sent him out in a heat wave without any water yet, though. So that's...
That's something. Or sent him to all the dangerous places.
His words, not ours. Yeah, how does this end? I can't even remember. That's how I was so into the other storyline.
I think that is the end of that story.
That is it.
Yeah, the surfboard is the end, yeah. But we haven't talked enough about the montage, I think.
Yeah, the montage does need a... like bigging up, I think.
Like Baywatch, a good 60% of the storyline is montage. And did anyone else find the black and white bits really, really creepy?
Just the black and white bits? Are you mental? I found the whole thing.
It's the splashing and the frolicking that was my favourite part.
The lack of chemistry between them is clear.
It's astonishing.
That's true.
It's like they genuinely hate each other and don't want to be near each other filming this.
Could well be the case.
But the black and white bits look like some sort of dystopian nightmare. Like, I thought I was watching some like, I don't know, Michael Lynch?
Richard, we've got a film expert on the podcast. It's David Lynch.
David Lynch, sorry. who am I getting confused with? Anyway, yeah, sorry. But yeah, it felt like a kind of, I don't know, it was horrible. It was just all horrible. Horribly acted, horribly done, like terribly edited again.
Oh yeah,
The editing is just awful in this show. Like, you could do better, you know, on iMovie in 1992.
For a show that is so reliant on the montage, on the art form that is the montage. I love them.
I did warn you about that. You were surprised when you found it was 50 minutes. And I was like, well...
I was shocked.
I was like, well, 5 minutes is the intro, and then you've got 20 minutes of montages, so you're basically there at the end by the time that's all done.
We did have an episode that was 46 minutes long and 24 minutes of it was montage. We did have that episode. That has happened.
So they get to write less dialogue. I like it.
Oh, see, yeah.
They're being very canny.
Oh, they panic. They panic in the edit room. You can tell. We've got to throw some trees in here. What should we do? Just go round them. Bananas. And sometimes they fast forward it and then they slow it down and then they put some crazy shit effects on it. It's quite interesting each week how they try and up each montage they do.
Yeah.
And today's was a cracker. I really enjoyed it. It's weird that I enjoy montages now. I'm like, oh, great. Montage. Here we go. I've got a couple of things about this montage. One, if someone pulls out like a video camera on the first date, I'm out. Don't care who you are.
That is weird. It's not a first date though, is it? They had a first date last week.
Well, it's their first. He wants to know what she does on his day off.
Well, yeah, that's
okay.
True.
Second date, Rich. Yeah. Would you be okay for a second date?
Either way, jump on the beach. You know, we know that's a no-no. Knitwear on the beach. It's just wrong.
It's normally the bad guy.
Normally it's the bad guy that wears knitwear on the beach. Like, yeah.
Knitwear on the beach is quite standard for here, though. Because sometimes, like three months of the year, we get slightly chilly weather.
Is it chilly weather, though?
And so sometimes you have to put on an extra layer.
Oh, my God.
Especially on the beach where it gets a little bit windy and a bit nippy sometimes.
I mean, it's literally rained for 3 days here solid. The last 3 days. I'm not sympathetic.
What is this rain?
I had a hot water bottle earlier today. My flat's that cold when I work.
We've heard the last 3 days here has been slightly chilly, and I've never been so excited in my entire life to put on a pair of socks. I'm wearing socks for the first time in 9 months, and it's like my feet are like, don't know what's hit them.
I was trying to design socks last night that had hot water bottles in them. I was trying to discuss that with my wife. That's how cold I was. Oh, living.
But yeah, knitwear on the beach, just weird.
Bad guys. And also, there's a bit in this montage when they're standing on the rocks with big waves, and I think that's highly irresponsible when you're a lifeguard.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you get swept,
yeah,
that is reckless.
Reckless. It's dangerous. Did they know there was someone? I don't know. There. Can he save her? Is he that confident?
He's Mitch. He is, you know, lifeguard supremo.
Well, he's an ex-Navy SEAL.
Well, yeah. And besides, he'd get Numi in a wig to do all the hard stuff.
Yeah, where is Numi? Where is Numi? He gets a...
They mention Numi in this one. You won't see him.
I worry that they've... Well, I know they haven't got rid of him because he comes back. He's like the boomerang.
He's the real He's a real lifeguard. So if you didn't know, there's a character called Numi who doesn't speak very often. We really sort of see him. He doesn't have any lines, but he is a real lifeguard. He is like the stunt supervisor, isn't he?
They put wigs on him. So you probably do see him.
He probably did. I'm sure we're about to get onto the casino section, but he probably did the Billy Warlock, what do you call it? Like the bit where he's being dragged behind the speedboat.
That was probably new. Mate.
That stunt sequence, which was a highlight of the episode, I'm sure you'll agree. That was definitely that guy.
When Mitch jumps off the boat when they get to the casino, then that was definitely Numi in a wig.
Yeah.
That was 100% the Numi in a wig, that jumping off that boat. But yeah, I don't know. He doesn't normally do Eddie, does he? Because he's like a foot and a half taller than Eddie. Not that that makes much difference.
But when someone's being dragged behind the boat at high speed, you don't really
True.
That hasn't stopped them in other episodes for using
that's very
taller
true,
and older men to be Eddie. Again, it's also something I really look forward to, is seeing the crappy stunt doubles with wigs on.
Like 2 foot taller and 4 stone heavier.
Yeah,
yeah.
There wasn't enough of them this week. Loads of them last week. None this week.
No, not so much this week. Right. I think we've done that story to death, haven't we?
Yeah. Did you enjoy that storyline? It was pleasant.
I mean, there were quite a lot of... I noticed in the montage, there were quite a lot of clothing changes. Do we know...
Suggesting that a passage of time, perhaps.
Yeah, like, did they go home and get changed? Like, in between? What's going on? Who knows?
To suggest the passage of time to make him falling hopelessly in love with her more realistic, I'm sure.
Yeah, because he's fallen hard.
It did work.
Where does he declare his love? Quite deep. And she's not interested, pretty much. He's like... Really? I think he's gone harder
you
than her.
You think she's not interested? I don't know. I thought she liked him.
Liked, yes, but he's like, let's move in and have kids straight away. He can see the rest of the life, and she's just like, oh, I just want to frolic in the water. And we did that today. I'm not sure.
Oh, dear.
I think she's going to break his heart.
I think you might be right.
I think Hobie's going
to... I think you might be
Hobie
right.
Hobie might be the reason why... Shit, that he is.
I don't know. I think we've done that bit, haven't we?
Yeah, like... let's just move on. But I've got one more question, Faye. Faye, did you recognise this Hobie character? Is this your Hobie?
Yes, I did. I did recognise him. Although his ears slightly took me by surprise. He had more prominent ears than my memory serves. But then I could have been mixing him up with other Hobies.
Jeremy
right?
Jackson, the other long-serving Hobie.
Okay.
From series 2, when he suddenly gets older and much taller.
Hobie had an impressive mullet.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? That must take ages to dry in the morning.
Well, only the back.
Yeah. Right, let's get on to this main storyline then. The reason the episode's called Snake Eyes.
Woohoo! Essentially, the reason the episode's called Snake Eyes is because Court takes Eddie to an illegal casino on a really rusty old boat in the bay. Initially, like as a double date.
Yes.
So Eddie and Shawnee and Court and Ruby? Is it Ruby?
It is Ruby. I wrote it down as well.
No, I had no idea who that woman was.
She's not in it. She's not been in it before.
No.
Although there is a picture of her and Court up in the surf shop.
Really?
I don't know if anyone noticed that. Yeah.
Face eyes.
Yeah. I know. I do sort of notice these stupid things, don't I? But yeah, there's a picture of them up in the surf shop. So maybe it is a bit more serious than we think. But who knows? And I don't know if it's the girl from last week. I don't think it is it?
No.
She might have had a haircut.
No, Court is a ladies' man. It's going to be a different lady every week, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to sell.
So, yeah, so Court's got another new girl. Shawnee drives in crazy shoes. The casino looks incredibly ropey, and you have to give a password to get in, which is, how's the Studebaker running?
I get it now.
with you.
At the beginning of the episode,
it seems that Court is friends with the security guy with, like, the... square haircut, looks like he might have been ex-military. Maybe he was a Navy SEAL as well. I don't know. I'm reading into things there. But, yeah, he's basically got one of those flat-top haircuts that all 80s bad guys have.
Very 80s bad guys.
So they go off to this casino. Eddie kind of wins a bit of money. About $1,000, do we think?
No, I think $1,000? He only wins 100.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's 100 that first night, and then he immediately gets addicted to gambling. It's so quick and funny.
Because Court lends him 100, doesn't he? Court gives him 100 as a loan to start with. And then I thought Shawnee said, are those all, like, how much are they worth? And he's like, the red ones are 10s and the blue ones are 20s. And she goes, that's over $1,000 there. So I thought he'd won like...
No,
won
he does quite say big. That. She does say $1,000. He ends up owing $3,000.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, which doesn't sound like the end of the world now, but I imagine to a lifeguard in the early 90s, that's a lot of money, right?
Sophie, gambling, is it illegal in California? Or at some point, was it? Or is it not allowed?
I think it must
Vegas,
be, because remember, we've got Vegas. So we've got Vegas you can drive to, I've driven, or you can go in a plane. And
How far's the drive?
Drive is like 4 hours.
Well, it's not too bad.
Yeah, so it's all right. It's a fun road trip. And so, yeah, people here, if they're going to gamble or go to casinos, generally go to Vegas.
Is that because it's legal in Nevada and it's not in California?
Yeah, I don't know about all the legalities here, but certainly casinos are not like thing that people go to in LA. I know that. So you would think if it was legal, then there'd be... like, it would be more of a thing.
Okay, so they do it secretly on boats. Shitty boat.
Yeah, apparently.
Felt like I was watching the Ozarks for a bit then. Like, casinos on boats.
I like the bit when he's trying to surprise Shawnee at the beginning. And he's like, you just wait and see. And then he meets Court on the little boat. And then he's like, what did I tell you? And just like a little bottle of wine. I was like, is that it? Is that what she's expecting?
A rusty old boat. And they have to like, why is it so dirty going to the casino bit? Why are they like discarded clothes all over the place and like poo smeared on the walls?
Like, they're trying to, you know, do a clever display.
Yeah, they're trying to make it not look like a casino. I mean, it's weird when the bouncer turns up and he's in like a nine tails.
Yeah, should, the full tux.
Yeah, he should turn up and look like he's working on a boat. Would be a better disguise.
Yeah.
But I'm not the expert. So what games were they playing, gambling? Because I'm not much on the casino front.
We're playing roulette, right, weren't they?
And blackjack.
The first game they were playing was roulette. Yeah, and blackjack. Yeah. And I'm not sure what the dice one's called.
It's roulette, is it? Is that not roulette?
I don't know. No. The roulette is the ball on the wheel that goes
around.
And it's
where you put your, what are they called, chips. You put them like on red or black.
I always get green. Number. That's the green one, isn't it? Zero. It's got to land there once in a while.
And that's why the house always wins.
But I haven't been addicted at any point, so it's fine.
It's the only reason I've ever been to a casino is because it's been the only place open at the
Didn't
end of the
Didn't we go
night,
for your stag
essentially.
Do? We went for my stag do.
We did go for my stag do, but we went on the second day and I was so hideously hungover that I was basically not in any fit state to be upright at that point.
Good times, good memory, yeah. He was very white.
Yes. I was very, very poorly.
Yeah, I haven't really been to many casinos like that. I definitely haven't worn a suit and tie and stuff like that to a casino. I didn't know that was the way.
No.
That is so unrealistic. If you know what Californians are like and people from LA, that them doing that is so funny because people here are so casual all the time. Like, people never, ever get dressed up for any reason here. And especially with them being like in Malibu and like obviously working on the beach and just being such casual people, the fact that they get dressed up in full tuxes is so funny. It's just like that would never ever happen here. And
but
then
they
obviously
do
if you
time.
Do go if you do go to Vegas, everyone is like in t-shirt and shorts. Like no one is getting dressed up to go to Vegas casinos.
It's too hot, isn't it? Or is it aircon?
Yeah.
Well,
it's,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's really got good aircon in the casinos because that's one of the ways they get you to stay. But, yeah, everyone's very casual. No one's getting dressed up.
Okay, so that's not realistic. Is that what we're saying? I'll put that in the notes. Yeah.
What a shocker. I like the bit where Eddie's gone back to the casino on his own and turns up to see Shawnee for the picnic looking absolutely mullered. and it's basically following the only bit of conversation that Jill has, a chronically underused poor Jill. We always feel sorry for. She was brilliant. She's a brilliant actress. She had a really, really good episode that she kind of ran all on her own, took all on her own, basically. And since then, they've just not given her anything. So yeah, it's always nice to see Jill when she pops up for like 30
She hasn't
seconds.
Been in the water in weeks.
Basically on this one. No, she hasn't. Basically on this one, just to say, aren't men rubbish?
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. But we find out that Eddie's been back to the casino and discovers a thing called a ticket. Was it a ticket?
Docket or something.
Yeah.
Or marker.
It's where the casino loans you money to gamble with, which should raise
not
some
a
alarm.
Good idea.
I'm not a smart man, but even I know that's a dumb idea.
All right, Forrest Gump. Oh dear. So yeah, he ends up borrowing lots of money on this thing to keep gambling with, and of course keeps losing because the house always wins.
That was quite a good montage.
Yeah, that was a nice montage of Eddie
sweating
losing.
Sweating and just...
Billy Warlock's fantastic acting skills. Hey.
It's Fee's favourite. We've got to be nice this week about Billy.
Oh, we're never nice to Eddie.
Proper heartthrob.
Is he
talking
though?
About there?
Why?
Oh, is he? Is he 5 foot 2?
He honestly was at the time. This is what I'm saying. It's like Billy Warlock and Eddie Furlong were kind of like.
That is a weird mixture, Fee.
But sure.
Opposite
I know
ends of the spectrum.
I know it's weird. But they were both like short and young and like, had kind of similar floppy hair. And that did a lot for a girl back in the late 80s,
was he,
early 90s.
Was he in like magazines and stuff? Because I can't remember it.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, he definitely was, yeah. He was like a pinner.
And he was, in real life, was engaged to Shawnee.
Yeah.
That's amazing that I don't get that about Eddie. But I have think he has improved as an actor through this series. Because in the first few, he was awful.
Oh, I mean, he couldn't get any worse. You know. It's like they just wheeled out a cardboard cutout, wouldn't it? like for the first few episodes.
Fee, how old do you think he's meant to be in this TV series?
25.
You are very generous.
Way off. Way off.
We think he's meant to be 18, 19.
Oh, okay.
If that. I mean, 17, right. 18 almost.
Yeah.
Right.
Young, anyway.
I guess that makes sense.
And this new character, Court's taking him under his wing, so he's getting a bit more
right.
rebellious. But his backstory is that he was an orphan from Philadelphia and was brought up on the streets, so he's got a bit of an attitude.
Brought up on the streets. Yeah, he's definitely got that tough.
I am not lying. This is
demeanor.
This is how they cast him.
Yeah. I did think it was funny. There was one bit where he did try it. He just like sort of ran and like rugby tackled someone. And I was like, that's a full grown man, Billy Warlock. What are you doing? It was like when he was threatening people at various points, I just kept thinking, what are you doing and why are you doing that?
He's always threatening
people. You're a tiny, tiny wee man.
There's a brilliant one in a very early episode when they've actually literally copied a Rocky montage from like Rocky 3 or 4. And it's definitely worth going hunting down for. I can't remember. It's the one where he gets angry, if that makes any difference to people. But yeah, he's always threatening to punch people. And it's amazing how often he's been punched.
I
would say once every other episode, he seems to be get punched in the face.
He does do a really good kind of air shot, which takes about 20 minutes to get round. So the guy just moves out of the way and then like kicks him or something. So Eddie's gone back. He's lost all this money. And then to teach him a lesson or to encourage him to pay, the casino owner, who looks like a French maitre d',
yeah,
looks like he should be in a posh restaurant.
He looked like, oh God, what's the actor's name?
He looked like Alfred Molina to me. Have I got the right name?
It is Alfred. I know who you're thinking about, Alfred Molina. On IMDb, he hasn't even got a picture, this guy. So I can't even... He's faceless.
I don't know. But yeah, so anyway, he's not very menacing. It looks like, if anything, he would just give you a kind of withering look of disdainment rather than anything kind of too bad. But he's also got people to do that for him, right? So yeah, he has Eddie dragged to shore by boat, where he's lucky enough that Craig finds him, washed up, half dead on the beach.
Look, Craig turns up. Yeah, this is quite late on in this episode as well that we haven't seen Craig. But yeah, but when he's getting...
He reminded me of Peter Law, who's like a classic Hollywood actor from like the 30s. So this is like my niche little reference for you. But yeah, that's who the casino guy reminded me of. He played like a lot of villainous roles, Peter Law.
So you'd be happy to know in most episodes there is a film reference. We reckon one of the writers likes movies. And obviously in this one, we got James Bond.
Yeah, we did. I personally like, again, Gina pops up for about 10 seconds, but is, again, brilliant. and calls Court 00 Bonehead, which I really enjoy.
Double good.
Yeah, I like that. Gina's my one of my favourites.
Another underwritten female.
So, yeah, completely. Shocking. Completely, because she's really witty as well. Like, if they actually put some effort into it, like, Gina sees the absurdity of Baywatch, I think, more than any other character. Yeah, she is. And is withering about the cast, which is great and really fun, but they just don't use her at all. But yeah, so Craig now gets involved, doesn't he, when Eddie gets washed up, because Craig is basically Eddie's dad.
And Eddie's been beaten up as well. He hasn't just been dragged. So when he got dragged, I've got a question. Was he holding on for himself, and could he have let go?
Yeah.
So he...
That's what... That was... I was wondering that. But then he had to wait. He had to wait until he was close enough to shore. Because he couldn't have just let go straight away, because he'd have been, like, however many miles from shore.
Okay.
But once he got closer to the beach, he should have let go definitely then, because then he'd have been better off just swimming to shore instead of being...
He's a lifeguard, he can swim.
Maybe not that far.
Okay. That's cleared that up for me. I just thought, let go, mate. Then this experience be over.
Yeah.
Or try and get on your feet. That would have been good.
But he didn't have skis. That's the crucial element.
No, but I've seen
missing.
People on the internet do it without skis and movies.
I'm not sure that's easy, though, Dave. Well, are you thinking about when Fonzie jumped the shark?
Probably.
I'm not sure that's realistic.
I've never water skied, so I can't comment. But if it was me, I would have done it differently.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Dave, if it was you, you wouldn't be in the situation, would you say, you know?
No. No, well, I do get myself in stupid situations, but yeah.
Before this, actually, we missed a bit, didn't we, where Eddie borrows some money out of the till in court.
Oh, yeah.
After witnessing court borrowing his own money out of the till, like, which is also slightly dodgy, but...
But isn't there, like, they tried to fit, isn't it like when you admit you're addicted to something, you go through the five stages? So you go from, like, lying, deceiving, guilt... and blah blah blah. Whereas I'm not a gambler, addicted to gambling. And one of them is like stealing or lying to your friends. And he does all of them in like 3 minutes.
He just does every step.
Yeah,
he blasts through them.
It takes him like a day to get from like zero to full on.
Yeah,
addiction.
I've got a problem, guys. I need your help. But he robs.
Yeah, it's Baywatch, though, isn't it? They've got to fit it in. They've got to fit. There's no nuance. You know, if it was Hollyoaks, like we said, if it was Hollyoaks, we're using that as our British standard for Baywatch, then they would have eked this storyline out over weeks. But, you know, Baywatch is the opposite, isn't it? They've got 15 minutes to cram this nonsense into with montages. Let's get it done.
Yeah,
that is very true. So yeah, he robs and he goes back and loses for the third time. So he goes back.
Third time,
yeah. Because he's not wearing the suit in the third time, is he? He's wearing.
Yeah, no. I quite like that little character detail. That yeah, then like gradually he kind of dispenses.
He's
with
worked
the
out.
And just go. He's just too addicted to the dirt.
So is it the third time that they drag him back to shore? Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. And then obviously Craig and Court kind of help him out. Court's way is to do it Court's way, and Craig wants him to go to the police and do his lawyer thing. I'm not sure exactly why this was in here, but Court shoots a watermelon with a harpoon.
Yes.
I've got questions. What actually was the plan?
Why? why? Was that to try and make it look more sinister than it was?
Because the plan didn't involve that
but
at all,
what did the
did
plan...
It?
No.
And, they were in, like, scuba gear. Like, the fact that they were in scuba gear was all kind of confusing. And then Craig is in the tux and he's posing as, like, a casino customer or whatever. And then Court does this whole elaborate thing with gas. Sets off, like, a
smoke bomb.
But that wasn't...
Something. I don't know. This is what I'm saying. It's like, this all happened in, like, the last 5 minutes of the episode. And it was all so rushed. It was quite a lot to take in. And there's a lot of double crossing going on. Yeah, there's double crossing going on because Craig thinks the plan is one thing and then Court thinks it's something else. And then this black cop turns up at the end. And I reckon he's a recurring character, right?
Garner.
Is he?
He's
like Danny Glover from Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
He's the best character in the show.
I did catch on that he was like a recurring character, but I didn't know.
They've given him more time. Yeah. He's come more popular throughout, so they've given him more time.
And I think he gets more and more in later series
as
well.
Yeah.
Isn't he like by the time we get to Baywatch Nights, isn't he Mitch's detective?
Is he the one that's in Detective Nights?
I think so, yeah.
Know. But maybe he is.
I think they're PIs.
It
together.
Would make sense.
Like. But anyway, I think, you know, Garner for me is the only reason to keep watching this show. Like, when he pops up, you know it's gold.
Yeah, I'm well excited when he comes up. There's also a running theme that the police are never in control, and it's always the lifeguards.
It's always the lifeguards
that save the day. It's out of control,
of course.
Yeah, again, I mean, the police turn up with Mitch. They couldn't just turn up, just not just the cops on their own. Mitch has to be on the boat.
Yeah,
too.
I know. Why was Mitch there at the end? That made absolutely no sense.
Just, you know, they need a shot of him jumping off a boat for the credits.
I still don't understand the last 10 minutes of this program. So, I don't understand their plan. If Craig didn't know the plan and Colt didn't know the plan, and the plan was to get on the boat secretly and then use whatever the harpoon thing to get on the boat, what was in the bag that they brought in?
I don't know. I thought the plan
was...
Was
that the bomb thing? The smoke bomb thing?
Yeah.
Whatever that was.
And
the
I
gas
thought,
canister
That's a big
thing.
Bag for just a little gas canister.
Well, I think Court's
and maybe it was for the money.
Yeah,
Tobacco was for the money, because Court, I reckon, is thinking of possibly stealing all that money.
That's it. Court was thinking of stealing the money. Craig was thinking of getting evidence to go to the cops. That's the difference in the plan. Like, Craig's wired, remember?
Oh yeah, Craig has got a wire on.
Yeah, so he was there to get evidence that they were cheating and that the gambling was illegal anyway. But Court, unbeknownst to Craig, so I think Craig thinks, oh, that's the plan. But then Court has other ideas and he's there to steal all the money.
Right.
And that's hence the smoke grenade to get everyone off the boat.
That's what I thought as well.
But then obviously Craig's too clever for him, because Craig's the only one that's actually got any brains in this whole show.
he's the only grown-up.
But I was really looking forward to him shooting a harpoon thing at like someone's head.
Yeah, because the watermelon bit was good. I got excited at that point. Yeah. I was like, ooh, we're going to get some like juicy violence going on.
I was watching it thinking, they're setting this up for it to be really lame. Because that's what Baywatch likes to do. They like to try and pull a fast one on you, but really, really obviously. Yeah, we know that Court's not violent, don't we, really? He's a little punch up in a bar, but from the Mexico episode, he's a lover, not a fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's an ex-Navy SEAL, apparently.
He's an explosive expert. That is what his role was in the Navy SEALs.
Yeah, apparently so.
So that explains why he had, like, the gas canister, I guess. But then, he's an explosive expert, but the other day there was a mine on the shore, and his way to defuse it was to throw a shoe at it.
not a blackboard or either.
Not much of an expert either.
My question is, why were people jumping off the boat?
Why were people jumping off the boat? It's not even a fire.
Why were they? Yeah, because so they told them to get out of the casino because there's smoke or whatever, or gas. Yeah. And then, and then they all started jumping off the boat.
It wasn't sinking.
It wasn't. I don't know why they were all jumping off. That was so funny.
That was just weird. So, yeah, people generally jump off the boat. Eddie tries to punch a hard man in the face and misses. And then he ends up in the water with him as well. And saving him, essentially.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, lifeguard. The last thing I've written is, Craig was wired, Garner is cool.
That's pretty it.
That's it. Bye.
I have fact-checked myself on the Mexico thing, and to Tijuana from here, it's 3.5 hours.
That's maybe possible.
Nice.
I don't...
Well...
But you wouldn't get there during the day. No. It would still be night.
Still be half nine at night. Yeah. You know, it'd still be nearly 10 o'clock.
And we're not even quite sure it's Tijuana they get to. It's like a deserted beach.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't look like Tijuana to me. Tijuana's party town, right?
You need a vacation, and then they get to this little Mexican village, and it's not the Mexicans aren't the bad guys, it's American tourists. It's very bizarre.
They're not tourists.
Oh yeah, they're not tourists.
They're coyotes, they're not tourists.
they're murderers, that's what they are.
Yeah, they're murderous coyotes.
Spoiler alert.
We've done that one, it's alright.
So, Craig, I've still got a question about this recording business. So he's wired to try and get the bad guy to announce what is he trying to get him to admit?
When he was like, he pulls out the wire and was like, da da, I've got all the evidence, and I was thinking, hang on a second, what evidence have you
he got lucky right
here? Because did he didn't get anyone to admit anything.
That gambling was happening, which is the illegal thing.
No, I thought he got him to admit that he was about to shoot Colt, right?
Oh, I might have done that too. Yeah, maybe that's,
And he did, I do think he records them offering him a marker, which would also be illegal. So when they say, you can have $1,000 marker, whatever it's called, I think he does get evidence.
We've also forgot to mention that Court finds out that the games are rigged, which is the main reason.
Yes. We did mention it, but
We did.
Yeah,
Snake Eyes.
We did, but only briefly. So Snake he Eyes. Finds... He finds out...
because what you would do if you had loaded dice... What you would do if you had loaded dice is you'd just leave them out for anyone to find, wouldn't you? Just leave them on the table. It's fine. No problem. Yeah. No one's going to notice. Snake eyes every time.
How do you fake cards?
I thought...
How do you mark cards? Someone explain to me. This must be a thing.
I don't know. It's a gambling thing, isn't it? It's the thing that yeah. the rumours of casinos.
I enjoyed the bit when Eddie was trying to come Rain Man at one point and learn cards.
Yeah. He was trying to teach to count cards, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah. Which is even more hilarious from someone who struggles to put his trousers on. You know, he's not clever, Eddie. Trying to count cards and there's complex maths, but no.
It is extremely complex. I read a really good book about counting cards called Bringing Down the House, and it's about this real life guy who kind of did actually successfully almost bring down a couple of Vegas casinos because he was so good at counting cards. But yeah, the math involved, as they would say here, is just like on a whole level where he was like a MIT grad or something. You know, he went to Harvard.
Is that what the film 21's based on?
He was like,
yeah,
possibly. But yeah, you have to be like a mathematical. Yeah.
Did you read this book just before you went to Las Vegas? And
the two incidents were unrelated.
Brilliant. Oh, I probably would. So yeah, so that's it. So he gets them to admit, and they close down the boat.
The bit that I liked really was was Garner getting the money off of court and kind of saying,
yeah, when he was like, "And you with the pocket, Andrew with the pocket,"
and kind of giving him "We need to have a talk about the way you do things," kind of like he's telling off his teenage son.
This isn't the first time,
naughty boy. We need to have a talk about this. We'll talk about it later when your mother's home.
Would you have taken some money?
Oh, God, yeah. Of course.
I'm glad. We're on the same boat, Rich. We would have cheated. We would have taken at least a couple of hundred pounds. I mean,
it's ill-gotten gains. Who's losing?
They're lifeguards.
You know, well, I was thinking, who's going to take who gets that money?
Government.
Yeah.
Does the government get that money?
Do you wonder what happens in those kind of situations? When there's a big bust, what happens to all the money?
Burnt.
No, well, knowing the cop.
Does it get burned?
That's what they do with drugs, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but only after the cops have had what they want out of it. I've seen The Wire.
I've watched Line of Duty. That's what they were trying to do. I don't know. That's a good question. It will rock. You might turn up in one of the later episodes. It won't.
No, it won't.
It won't at all.
But yeah, again, it's just Craig and Garner essentially being the grown-ups in this whole show. And everyone
jumping
else.
Jumping in. Do you reckon Eddie'd learned from his mistake, or he's going to be a gambler now? As in addicted to gambling, or is that?
Oh no, I don't think there won't be any mention of gambling again. Like this won't be a reoccurring addiction. But although I said last week we wouldn't see the teacher again, and we did, so I could be wrong. But no, I don't think anyone's got a complex enough character to actually have an addiction that lasts more than an episode. So I don't imagine that will happen.
That's true.
But will Eddie grow? Well, does anyone? Does anyone? Is there any kind of character development in this show? I don't know.
I don't think there is.
Nothing subtle, anyway. Nothing like, you know, meaningful.
Fee, did you enjoy that episode? Where would you rate it? Where would you rate it?
As in,
out of what we should say, out of 10.
Ooh, at least a 7, I'd say. But bearing in mind the novelty factor for me, I, unlike you two, have not been watching 17 episodes of Baywatch. So for me, it was a big nostalgia trip. It was a big blast from the past, and there was much to enjoy. And I thought, like, it was quite exciting. Like, they did pack a lot into those last 5-10 minutes. It did get quite good towards the end.
Every episode takes its time to get going, to be honest. The first 15 minutes, I was like, something happen.
Yeah, it's got a formula. It's definitely got a formula, as in a lot of build up and then all the action in the last 5 minutes. Like that's basically the formula of the show, right?
But then from their perspective, with the money they presumably spent on that little whole shenanigans at the end, you think they'd want to stretch it out a bit. I don't really get why they packed so much into such a short amount of time at the end.
I've got a feeling that no one is even thinking about this.
No one is thinking of structure or pacing.
I think they've got 100,000 monkeys with 100,000 typewriters, and they've left them in a room for a week, and that's the episode. You know, that's how well the writing is done.
No one's at the wheel of this series.
Which is probably why, at this point, the show's almost bankrupt, right? The network's pulling it because it's the budgets are crazy and it's being kind of critically panned at this point.
It made it past, there's a history, it got commissioned for 12 episodes originally and it made it past that, and that's when we got rid of some new characters and that's when Court got added. There was an Australian, we say this, tell the story every week, but it is funny. There was an Australian guy called Trevor who is very token Australia. Still in the credits. But his last scene you see him is that he gets refused a sandwich and then there's no mention of him again. It's just a beautiful bit of TV. So they gave it a full run, and this is when TV series had to be like 24 episodes.
Yeah. Like an American TV, for it to have this many episodes in a season, the figures weren't good.
And me and Richard sat through a couple of absolute stinkers. I think one made us physically angry at one point. Two made us angry. And one was the sandwich episode. And the other one was the modern day pirates.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's not a good episode.
It's like someone had seen. It was like someone had seen Goonies and then thought, I can recreate that in 45 minutes with a £5 budget. Yeah, no problem, and no charisma whatsoever from anyone.
But yeah, I'm looking at the. I'm going to read it in a minute. But next week's sounds absolutely bonkers. So shall we Brilliant. Swiftly? So next week is called Eclipse. God, I can't believe. Yeah. Okay. Here we
go. I'm intrigued already.
When a rookie lifeguard claims he saw an apparition of a young girl running through the surf in a white nightgown, everyone thinks he's crazy. But when the lifeguard turns up dead after being drowned, Eddie is haunted by the same apparition and it revives a painful memory of the drowning of his sister. Meanwhile, Hobie attempts to babysit for a friend's dog in the house without Mitch noticing.
And this is why we love Baywatch, because they do not mesh.
can we just talk for a second about the fact that Eddie's sister went through a painful drowning on the mean streets of Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently he was an orphan and had no family.
He's never mentioned his sister.
But his sister.
No, we've not heard of his sister before. Yeah, this is,
Okay, this sounds amazing. I might just watch it anyway, because if it's going for like a gothic, ghostly vibe, then I am so in.
The last time they promised the kind of spooky kind of thing was the Night Hunter episode, right? The Cretin of the Shallows, which was the most confusing thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, literally, we had Kate as a guest, did we? And we're so glad that we had it, because she'd watched the episode three times as the only one that understood it. Because neither of us two really knew what was going on.
I watched it three times as well, and I still had a clue. It's a fantastic episode to watch. If you're going to go back, that's one I do recommend, because it is hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that sounds good.
An eclipse.
Is it a creature from the deep? No, not at all.
Okay. You kind of made to very, very loosely think that for about 3 seconds.
But there is murder. There's murder. No.
Okay.
There is murder. Ooh. There's a bad murder. But yeah, this one sounds quite similar to that.
Yeah.
I think, in terms of, you know, there's a murder. There's creepiness. Eddie's involved. You know, it's kind of maybe he gets punched again.
He's definitely going to get punched. I mean, yeah. And there's going to be a rookie lifeguard, Rich. That's a new character. She saw an apparition, but he dies.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, don't want to pay him a recurring character.
He gets introduced and
dies because he drowns. So he's not the best lifeguard. And then Hobie attempts to babysit for a friend's dog in his house without Mitch noticing. Now, that's going to be hilarious.
Yeah,
I mean, he's
going to
bark, and then Hobie's going to bark and be like, I'm just practicing being a dog or something. It's going to be...
So now what I'm thinking is, what film is it that the writers have seen this week? Is it Beethoven, or is it, like... I don't know, some Stephen King film. Is it The Shining or is it Beethoven? What have they seen? Like, which is
maybe
the,
it's both.
Which is the film-based narrative?
I just love how they mesh together. And I love that sometimes the storylines don't join up. Sometimes they do, believe it or not. They do come to a conclusion of all three storylines, do come into one point. This won't. This one, I'd be very surprised if the dog and the ghost join up, to be honest.
Maybe the dog's the ghost. Maybe it's going to be Scooby-Doo. Maybe that's the inspiration.
Just Scooby-Doo.
And the dog and Hobie solve the mystery. and they pull the mask off the ghost and it's Old Man Smith as the caretaker.
I'm just going to check what rating it got on IMDb. I like to see. So Snake Eyes got 6 out of 10.
Well, I said 7 out
yeah,
of
10. Yeah, I really enjoyed
so
it.
Yeah,
watching
it's,
it today.
It's pretty good.
It kept my attention. Oh, Eclipse has got 6.4.
Oh, that's quite good. That is quite good. But then your favourite, you liked one that was like 4.5 or something, the lowest rated one, didn't you, Dave? Did we have a cold conversation
yeah.
about how rubbish that one was and you quite liked it?
Was it Armoured Car? That was quite...
It was Armoured Car. Yeah, I think it must have been. It was awful anyway.
It wasn't awful.
So if you want to follow us on social media, then you can find us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Head to Facebook if you don't like a lot of updates, because we don't do that very often. But if you do want to know when there's a new episode out and have a Noomi GIF or something to remind you, then Facebook is a place for you. Instagram, similarly, not updated that often, but we will have some nice still shots of Baywatch if those of you that enjoy those. And Twitter is probably our most used channel, so if you want to get regular updates from us, then Twitter is the place to go. The Baywatched Pod, Baywatched Pod, is the place to look on social media for us, and you'll find us there somewhere.
And we're all available on Spotify and shit, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Spotify, Google, iTunes, you probably know that if you're already listening. Give us a little like and a subscribe. Give us 5 stars and all that kind of thumbs up stuff. I don't know what they do on your platform, but if you've got it, then just help us out and give us that. That would be really lovely. And just tell your friends, tell your neighbours, tell your granny. Get them all to listen to this podcast. The more the merrier. We're not, as we say every week, we don't do this for anything other than our own amusement, as you can probably tell. But yeah. It's a challenge, and it's a thing that we do.
Because once upon a time, this was the most watched programme in the world. This is the most successful TV series. So, I know, it's mental.
Crazy.
So there are fans out there, and I know they don't like to speak up, it seems. It's like a silent army. So.
I don't think this series was the most when it was
do
the
you
most
reckon it was
TV
the slow-mo and the women?
Right?
That.
Oh, well, it's definitely why my dad watched it. I know that much.
And Pamela Anderson did, to be fair, did take it to a whole new level, I think.
Well, hopefully we'll get there.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get completely insane
so
by
got,
that point.
I think we've got 5 more episodes of this season. Yeah, 5, including the end one, which is called The End?
Way.
Where it got cancelled. But yeah, thanks for coming, Fee. Thank you for joining us and...
You're welcome. That was fun.
Have you on again during maybe season 2 or season?
Yeah, I would gladly come back and watch some random episode and see how all the characters have developed and as people.
You'll be sorely disappointed.
See all those narrative arcs that have definitely been followed through and, you know.
Definitely. I can't wait for season 2, actually. Thanks, Richard, again. Thank you for... being you.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Thanks to you for everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.